Last weekend, we were out in Indiana photographing a wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony. It was a beautiful day. And the weather that they had out there was just so nice. It's hard to come back to Maine, you know. It's 80 degrees and sunny, and we get back in Portland, it's raining in 52. And we're like, okay. But it was so nice. I found that over the years, being a photographer, I love it because it gets me out in the culture. It gets me mixing with people and being involved. And I love that. You know, guys, if I just hang out with Christians all the time, I go bonkers. I go bonkers. If everything I do is always church stuff, I'm just feeling like, wait, I think there's supposed to be more. How am I going to be connected to anybody? How am I going to have any influence? How am I going to just see what's going on in the culture? So I just love photography because it gives me that opportunity. I get to rub shoulders with people. And I love shooting weddings because I get to observe families. I get better than a front row seat. I get like a front row kneel. I get to be behind the scenes. I get to see everything that's going on. I get to be there when hair and makeup is being done. And I get to see the mom freaking out. And I get to see all the bridesmaids doing their thing. This past weekend, we had these two, we had three little girls in the wedding, and two of them, they were a huge challenge. They were like, they would have rather been eating glass than be at a wedding. Okay, so they were a challenge, but watching the whole family together with that. You know, think of your family for a minute. Have you heard it said, families are a lot like fudge. They're mostly sweet with a few nuts. And every family has them. Every family has them. And if you think your family doesn't have any, it's you. Okay? The rest of the family's going, yep, they're coming. All right? Last weekend's wedding was gorgeous. Let me show you a couple of pictures. Brian and Kelly are so in love. They both have a faith in Jesus. They're following after him hard. The toasts, everything was focused on their faith and building a life together. It's so cool when we get to be part of that. The wedding was stunning. But remember the family and fudge thing? The day went off without a hitch. Most of the people nicely dressed and everything going great until we got to the wedding reception. And we met somebody that we affectionately came to know as Drunk Uncle. Drunk Uncle showed up wearing bib overalls, work boots, and a plaid shirt. Drunk Uncle was shaking his groove thing. Drunk Uncle was excited to be there, and he was excited to dance with all the ladies, even if they weren't excited to dance with him. He was quite a guy. Robin, at one point, she took a picture after Twist and Shout and going down. Drunk Uncle fell over. Robin thought he was goofing around. So she taking pictures. And then she realizes, oop, Drunk Uncle didn't mean to fall down. He just laying out on the floor. And we're laughing about that. But the thing that amazed me was that Drunk Uncle, here he is. Hey. There he is. He's kind of doing his thing. The thing that impressed me most are our bells ringing. Why? All right, but anyway, oh, I know, time change. Time change, we gotta change the bells. All right, the thing that impressed me most, Kelly, the bride, when she saw her uncle, she hugged him tight. The nut in the fudge is still loved. And the family embraced, danced with him, loved him, celebrated with him. We as photographers are cracking up, you know, like, this guy is kind of fun. We're having a good time. But the family embraces him. That's kind of cool. You know, I love watching family in action. I love that the family that is growing here in this local church, and some of you are just arriving now, and welcome, welcome. It's 9:30 summer hours, so that's good. You're here, but I love watching the family growing right here. Sure, just like Fudge, we got a few nuts. We're gonna love them. Kip's waving his arms. Hey! Or were you pointing at me? But at the root of our family tree is Jesus. The vine, remember last week, that we're connected to the vine? We're all connected to that same vine. Yesterday, I just wanna let you know how proud I am of you guys. Yesterday, we had a kids' carnival. It was amazing. I just loved it. We fed more than 200 people. They were amazed. They'd come up and were like, free hot dogs, chips, drink, come on. And they'd be like, free? And someone would be like walking by. And we'd be like, come on in, free lunch. And they'd be like, yeah, right. And just keep walking by. But other people would come in. And they'd stop, they'd have free lunch, and we'd get a chance to talk, share some time together. There was a girl named Jamie, she was from Buxton, she's there with her mom, and I dropped two of her hot dogs, kept trying to put them on her plate, and they kept falling. And so we're laughing about that, and she's like, what are you doing? And at some point, I'm like, I haven't had a break in a couple hours, so I said, hey Jamie, do you know how to grill? And she's like, yeah. I said, here, I have to go to the bathroom. And I took off and I ran. Jamie's like, okay, I'll grill. And so here we have this person who isn't even part of our church who's running the grill. And I come back and she's like, this is awesome. I love this. She said, she and her mom said, we're going to come over and visit some week. And I bet you they will. I bet you they will. There was a guy named Mike who talked to me for quite a while. He works for a produce company. And he was excited. We're going to be getting together for coffee soon. He was excited about, we kept handing out things for our open door kitchen to invite people to come. And we handed out about a couple hundred of those. And he was excited about that. So he said, I work for a produce company. I want to bring you some fresh produce to be used in the open door kitchen. So I called Denise over. I said, come on. Or was it Diane? It was both of you. Well, that's easier for me. It's always easier, okay? They're twins, if you guys, for those of you who don't know. So I met Andrew and Elizabeth and Eden. Eden, the little tiny one, and there's another one coming next week. And I got to spend some time talking to them. And they're new to Westbrook. Brand new, and they were like, well, what's this Westbrook Day thing? We're just kind of walking down the street, and we saw all this going on. And here they were so excited. We had parents excited saying, you know, this is great that you're doing this, because you're saving us so much money. We just appreciate this so much. You know, Bob Radley was telling me about a guy who said, you just saved my family $15. And Bob's like, God, good, we're glad to. He had a conversation saying, just come see, come visit us sometime. We had a lot of people like that. I love being connected in the community. We are going to be part of our community here in Westbrook. We are going to do it, okay? No ifs and or buts, okay? If you got me here, we're doing that, all right? So we're going to continue looking for opportunities to be part of our community, support our community, love our community. And you know what was so cool about loving that community? Nobody was running around thumping people with tracks and looking and going. Jesus was all about relationships. He came to know people. He called them by name. He got involved in their lives, and they would ask him questions. And he would be able to talk to them about life. You see, folks, we need to love people, not projects. We need to love them even if they have no interest in us. I love talking to people, and I love watching you guys in action. I wish you could hurt all the parents. The next slide. I wish you could have heard all the parents who expressed their thanks. There was one little girl. She didn't want to do anything. She was one of these little tiny ones who puts her head up against her mom's leg and scared of all the games. So I said, go. Go to her. She's awesome with the little shy ones. Because I kept watching Mary. Little shy ones would be going, and Mary would be like, hi. And before I knew it, Mary's got them throwing hoops and doing things, and Mary's going, yeah! And celebrating with these kids. And they're having a blast. I'm going, that is awesome. I'm so proud of you. I mean, loving your community and asking nothing in return. I saw you being a family and making it clear that others are welcome to come along and join. That is awesome. I see it every time I go to the Open Door Kitchen. It's not, I've worked at other soup kitchens. We don't want to be a soup kitchen. We want to be a place where we look and we say our purpose, steps, not programs. We want to connect with people. We want to love people. So even when I'd invite people to our Open Door Kitchen, we don't call it a soup kitchen. Well, our Open Door Kitchen, I'd say, please come and be our guest. Be our guest. I'd love to have dinner with you. Would you come? And you can tell the people who are genuinely excited about it. I love that we're becoming just part of our community. Real, genuine. No one thumping anybody. Kim, thanks for all your hard work. I'm putting that together. That was awesome. That was awesome. And you know what I realized at one point? While I was over there grilling the hot dogs. You know, I looked around at our family, our church family, and I kind of took account. And from Gina, with her sucky marshmallow game, she's in the nursery volunteering. I call it the sucky marshmallow game because there were straws with little tiny marshmallows, and the kids had to suck the marshmallows with a straw and then drop them in the cup. So it legitimately was a sucky marshmallow game, okay? Relax. From Gina doing that to Larry at the gate with his beard welcoming kids in. At one point, Larry and I, Sarah painted a black lightning bolt on my cheek with glitter. And from a distance, it looked like a big black hairy mole. So I had that. Larry had his beard. And at one point, we're like, are we scaring people away? They're like, no. And Larry's walking the kids in and playing cornhole, and Pam's walking up and down the street and giving out flyers, and we had Ann doing the same thing. And I looked around and I just kind of took account. There was Nikki and Cassie over working a game, and I just kind of did account. And I said to myself, do you realize that last year, half of these people that I now consider family were not here. God is doing stuff here, guys. And I am pumped. I'm pumped about what I see happening. It's awesome. But what does it have to do with anything? We're talking this month about going all in. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. See, there's a debate going on in the Church of America today. It's about membership, an official membership, and what that means. Some churches think the answer is to make membership requirements more stringent. We need to make it more meaningful and more stringent and tell people what they have to do and what they're expected. Other churches are taking the approach, and they're just eliminating official membership and just deciding to say their membership is the people who come and are active. Okay, if all this church and Jesus stuff is new to you, I give you permission to snooze for the next couple of minutes. Okay, just doze off. It's fine. If you're not buying any of this and you don't have a church history, just I'll wake you up when it's time for the next part. Okay, but the rest of you who have grown up in the church, many of us who have grown up in the church sat through something called membership classes. We sat through them. I've had the opportunity in my ministry career to sit through three different membership class sessions at three different churches. One of them was 12 weeks long. 12 weeks of what it means to be a member. I was like, wow. We went through everything, things that I was like, wow, I don't even know what's going on here. And maybe you're from a Lutheran or a Catholic background, and you went through confirmation, which started back in the 50s and 60s with a renewed zest because membership was declining. You see, the church isn't the only one that membership is declining. Lions clubs, Knights of Columbus. Some of you grew up in the age where civic organizations were huge. My dad has invested much of his life in the VFW. And now he's like, we just don't have members. Everything that has membership has been declining. So it's not just us. It's not just the church. It's a societal thing that's going on here. So we've grown up in those situations. Now, to be clear, I think membership is good. I think it's good. I think it can be good. It's good when it gets us to be more committed to one another. But I think membership can be negative. I think membership becomes negative when it elevates members above non-members. You can do this because you're a member. Oh, non-member. Well, you've gone to church here for 3 years. Sorry. Don't make the cut. What? You see, when membership excludes people, it becomes as though we're in some sort of elite golf country club. I think we're missing what membership is and what Scripture says membership is. Gone through those three different churches, and in one of the churches, they told us what to give. And they would track it, tell us how we were doing. They told us how many times to attend, because if we didn't attend this many times, we would become inactive members. And you can only be an inactive member for this period of time, and then you're gone. I was like, whoa, booted. I had another place that was like, just all loosey-goosey about membership, whatever. But where do we go? See, I always get in trouble in the debate because I'm one of those people, in every deacon or elder committee I've ever served, I've been that annoying guy who sits there and says, what does the Bible say? How about what the Bible says? And to get the answers, sure, you can go that route, but come on, we need to be realistic. No, we don't. What would church look like if we did what Scripture said? What would it look like? Now understand, Scripture does say that in the United States, it does say that we're to follow our government, submit to its laws and all that. And in the United States, we have laws that say if we're going to be tax exempt and all that, we need to have a membership that meets, we need to have a constitution, and we need to have bylaws. Okay? So I look and I say biblical justification for that is there. Those are our laws, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it because Scripture says to do it. But it doesn't get so defined into this is how it must work. So for this month, we're going to look at going all in. We've got about a dozen people who have asked me about membership. That's cool. Got about a dozen people who have asked me about membership, and I got to thinking, wait a minute, why don't we just look at it as a body? Why don't we just take this month and look at Scripture in terms of what Scripture says about being members of one body? So that's what we're going to do with going all in. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Familiar passage to a lot of you. And those of you who went to sleep, wake up now. All right. We're back on track. All right. 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. It's the same thing with Christ. For we are all baptized into one Spirit, by one Spirit, into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. No matter what, no matter where you are, where your past is, all baptized into the same body. All right? Whether Jews, Greeks, slave, or free. And we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. What verse am I in? Okay, here it is, 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Can you picture that? I'd be standing here right now, and if one of my feet decides, doesn't want to do this anymore, where's it going? It can't do that. That's stupid. Right? I love the way Scripture, a lot of people are like, it's so boring, it doesn't. If you read this and you try to picture what's going on here in your mind, I can see this being a pretty good cartoon of the body in rebellion. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it was not for that reason ceased to be part of the body. You can see the ear. Well, stupid eye gets all the attention. I wish I was I. All I do is sit around and hear all the time. I gets to see everything. I quit. I don't like it. Stupid eye. So annoying. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right. Now, if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, just as he wanted them to be, just as he wanted them to be. Wow. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, they're indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Fudge is sweet with a few nuts. We treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division among the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. You put your name in there. Now I am a part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. So when I look at the body of Christ, I see three things in this passage. The past, number one, the past is past. Let it go. If you're at that come and see point, if you're like, all this God stuff, I don't even know if I buy it. That's okay. Just keep coming. Just come and see. Keep learning. Check it out. That's what people did with Jesus. They kind of followed him around going, hey, what's he doing today? What's he saying today? And then gradually they started saying, I want me some of that. I like that. You might come and go, I don't believe a lot of the stuff that's being said, but man, I love those people. They're the nicest people. I want us to be like that. The past is past. We all belong to the body when we follow after Christ. All parts. The second thing I see, that there should be no division in the body. We should move together. If we have the same purpose and we focus on that same purpose, which is loving people, love God, love others, all the law and the prophets, everything summed up in these. If we have the same purpose, we're going to move together. So that even when we do a kids' carnival, we're moving together. You know when the divisions start coming in? When we start focusing on all the other stuff. I don't like this music. I don't like that music. Oh, I love the organ. On the eighth day, God created the organ. I wish I could just take it home with me. Satan made these. That's okay, but it's not as good as that, which isn't as good as like one of the big ones. And we get all this crazy stuff and we start arguing about it and fighting about it, and we're not moving together because we're elevating our own desires above the purpose. Love God, love others. This is stuff. This is stuff. It's great stuff. Let's use it all to worship our God. And the third thing, we have equal concern for each other. Equal concern. Now, the parts that don't seem like you're wondering, I don't really have a job. Every Sunday, Helen here gives me a throat lozenge. Two times, it has rescued me. One time, I thought, I'm ending. I'm going to have to close that. You might have been here at that sermon when I was just coughing and just going through, going, all right, what are we going to do? I'm just going to close with, Bible says, love one another. Go and do that. Okay? But you look, and Helen might look and say, what can I do? But through her prayer, through her support, and through her handing me a cough drop every week. Awesome. You see, we're all equal parts. This pastor man guy, get off of it. Get off of it. This pastor man guy, Jesus washed feet. He washed feet, dirty, stinking feet. And when that pastor will not serve, it's time to get a new pastor. When your pastor thinks he is Superman, get rid of him. And that goes for me. Guys, we're all parts of this body. All equal parts of this body. We're all vital to the body. When I see the body of Christ and I look at the picture, I see a community that we're a unit. Look at this. You see all these little points? Scripture says we're the body of Christ. Where are you? Now, granted, you might be like, over here, like in this corner, watching the body. You're like just checking it out. Like, oh, it's kind of curious, kind of entertaining. I'm a little curious about that. There's room. We're going to squeeze you in and you become the body of Christ when you start following. So when we look at all those, if you take out the hip, if you're the hip and you're like, forget it, I quit, I'm not the body, then we walk like this. And we can't run very well. We need you, hip. Sarah, we can't all be hip. All right. We need you, hip. She says, oh, that was bad. All right. Maybe you're outside watching. Maybe you're a displaced hip. Would you come back in? Maybe you're wondering where you're part of this body. You're unnoticed. Let me tell you something. Before 3 years ago, I don't think I thought of my liver once. How many of you wake up in the morning and go, how's my liver? I wonder what my liver's doing today. How you doing, liver? Nobody. But you know what? Liver stops working, and you're going, oh. You even turn yellow. It affects every part of you, even though it's unnoticed. We need to be the body working together. You know, see, I was at a conference, and I bought you a present. And I want you to take it home. It's homework. I want you to take home one copy per family of this book. Now, you might be here going, I don't want to be a member of this church. Relax. Hang on. Hang on. Because you're evaluating it based on the last 12-week course you took. Okay? Give me a break. We're not going there. We're looking at what Scripture says. All right? But this will help us to get on the same page. It's my type of book. Look at the size of it. Look at the number of pages. Put it in your reading room in your house. Yeah, that one. That one. Leave your smartphone out. Go into the reading room. Read a chapter. You'll be able to read through it quickly. And it kind of says, discovering the attitude that makes the difference. There are some church bodies that work, and there are some that do not. We've all been parts of ones that do not. It's an attitude that makes the difference. So I want you to take it so that we can all be on the same page. And I want you always hear that I'm excited about what God's doing in this body. You always hear me saying I'm excited about what, but I hope you see it too. I hope you see it when we work in a carnival, because I see it in you. I see it in you when you're serving. I see it in Lori when she steps up and plays the piano. I see it in Larry at that gate and playing cornhole with the kids, and he's laughing and having fun. I see it when the little guys come up to take the offering, and Bob's walking with them. I wish you could see Bob's smile. It's so awesome, you guys. That is being the body and loving others. Because that's what Christ has called us to do. I hope you see it this morning. I hope you see that the body is a unit. And you who follow Christ are part of it. We need you.